Hello, and thank you for joining us once again, wherever you're joining us from, whether it's face to face in churches or whether it's online. It's great that you can participate with us in our joint service, and we hope that you will enjoy this time together. We're going to, as we normally do, go around the churches, and you can see we're a wee bit reduced in numbers, so it might be a bit shorter than normal. So we'll start off with Sheila. What's happening across at Echt and Midmar, Sheila?
We're doing well, thank you, and good morning to everybody who's joining us today. One thing really to mention today is, and it's really just to draw people's attention to the fact that our plan is to reopen Midmar Church again, and we're going to be worshipping at Midmar going forwards on the first Sunday of every month. So we're looking forward very much to being back in the building there, and hopefully that's going to be easy for people to remember. We've been at Echt during the COVID just because the building's a bit more flexible and we've been able to space out a little bit. But with the reduction in all the rules and regulations and the lifting of some of the restrictions, it makes it possible, I think, to be back at Midmar. So from the first Sunday in November, we'll be at Midmar, and the service on the first Sunday in November will be a service of Holy Communion.
Oh, lovely. That sounds great, isn't it? And I'm sure that's good news for the Midmar folk that the church is reopening. Stella, what's happening across at Lyddaff Chapel of Geary?
Well, good morning to all. Not a huge amount of news. We're looking forward to you and being in the church in Blairdaff on the Sunday. And just so you know, when I delivered the Cyrenian collection from Harvest Thanksgiving, I've subsequently had a follow-up asking why we particularly donated to them. And on investigation, it looks like we've been donating to the Cyrenians for over 40 years from all our Harvest Thanksgiving. So they were quite taken aback with that, as I was when I realised that the connection has been there ever since a lady from there, Mrs. Warrenham, had come to visit and had obviously impressed us all with their soup kitchen, which is how they started. And of course, that's a staple of the Northeast. But that's all our news from the North End.
Thank you very much, and I'm sure they were delighted to receive the stuff that you handed in. And Neil, what's happening at Kintore?
Thank you, Ewan. Hello, everybody. Kintore, we're well into our season of stewardship. So, in addition to the Church of Scotland's National Giving Day, which we are stretching out over 4 weeks, we're having our harvest festival next Sunday. So everyone's having it at different times. So this Sunday we'll just be talking about stewardship, but next Sunday we'll be celebrating the harvest. And in the afternoon, our messy church will also be celebrating the harvest with a special. With special attention being given to our contributions we make to the food bank. So watch out for that next Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you. Across at Cluny and Money Musk, we've actually started on Wednesday past a weekly midweek online service now. We're doing a 10-minute slot where I'm going to be looking through the Book of Romans. It's just a 10-minute slot where I read a passage from the scripture. We have a reflection, not always about the passage, and say a little prayer. So that's now on our YouTube channel and our Facebook pages, if anybody wants to follow on. And we had a lovely Harvest Thanksgiving service with the Sunday school and quite a lot of people in the church on Sunday past. In fact, Cluny, because we still have 1 meter distance, we hadn't enough seats for everyone who came, which was delightful. So the children made a great amount of noise, and it was great fun having them. But that's all that's happening just now across with us. We're worshipping just now in the month of October in Cluny. So that's the intimation. You'll notice that Josh is not with us. Josh is having a month's break to finish some academic studies, and we wish him well, and we wish the folk at Kendi. We'll maybe try and get some news from them for next week's blether. But enjoy our worship today, as together, wherever we are, that we can worship God in spirit and hopefully in truth and celebrate the coming of the kingdom in God's own time. So let us worship God together now.
Beyond borders, beyond time, beyond imagination, beyond comprehension, come God and meet us here as together we join in worship. Let us pray. We come to make the space and the time amongst all the other things in our lives, to sit in the presence of the one whose welcome is unlimited and whose understanding is inexhaustible. To God, who calls us each by name and who surrounds us with the assurance of love and acceptance, we are here today to offer our praise. Loving God, you know us all better than we know ourselves. You see where our loyalties lie, where it is we choose to put our energy. You marvel at the potential in each and every one of us, and you rejoice in your image-given expression through our thoughts, our actions, our intentions. And you invite us to grow in faith as we take the time today to pause, to think, and to wonder. Holy God, often we know that we could do better, that we could be better people, that we could be better reflections of your grace and all-encompassing love. With the very best of intentions and despite the good that we do, there are times when we let ourselves down and when we let one another down. Yet God's generosity and understanding is sufficient to encompass the very worst that we can offer and the very worst versions of ourselves that we can be. And so we give thanks for that love which heals, restores, soothes, gives second chances, and offers us the invitation to begin again. We are pilgrims. We are seekers. We are people on a journey of faith and discovery, people willing to be healed and shaped and inspired and encouraged. And so we offer ourselves and our lives in faith to God. God, take and use that which you see in us to further your kingdom and to make known your message of peace and love to all people and through all things. And we offer our prayers today in and through the name of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
reading today is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 2, 4 to 14, and 17 to 18. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. May God bless to us the reading of his word, and may his name be forever praised. Amen.
Greetings to everybody. We want to thank the Lord so much for this opportunity that he has given us to worship together and to share his word. We have just read from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, which reminds me of the way how I was raised up in Zimbabwe. I just want to give you an example of what happened when I grew up. My elder brother, known as Patrick, was raised by my mom. My mom struggled and he tried the level best to do the best for her child. So, you know, according to our culture, when children are raised at home, they went to the town to work in town. After working, they are expected to plow back and look after their parents, sending money, buying clothes, buying food for them and everything, especially during Christmas days. But Patrick went to town first year, second year, and third year, he didn't come back home. My mother decided to write a letter to him because of the pain that she had. She wrote a letter with few words. She simply said, "Patrick, Patrick, remember where you come from." When the letter arrived to Patrick, Patrick simply read the letter and he was in his tears and he decided to go back home. Why was he going back? He remembered how her mother raised him. He remembered how he grew up. The book of Deuteronomy that we've just read is a book which is accredited to Moses. And this chapter that we have read is reminding the Israelites about the journey which they traveled for 40 years in the wilderness. God allowed the children of Israel to go through the wilderness where there was no water, where there was no food, the sand was dry. There were snakes and scorpions there. And God had to let them go through this process for them to learn something. He wanted to show them that they were unable to provide for themselves. They were unable to provide even for basic level food. They had to rely to God's supply. They had to rely to go on God's supply on a mysterious manner and acquires water from the stone like that. What God did to the Israelites in the wilderness can be summarized in 3 points. Point number one, God's guidance. Number two, God's provision. Number three, God's protection. On God's provision, no any aspect of human existence can be separated from God's provision. God here was reminding the Israelites that when they get into the promised land, where there will be everything, they must not forget what God did to them. You know, there are many themes in the book of Deuteronomy. Some of the themes include election, faithfulness, obedience, and God's promise of blessing, all expressed through covenant. So why I was repeating that the Israelites were supposed to remember, this will lead us to a theme which I am going to use, which I have entitled, "We are what we are today because of what God has done for us." We are what we are because of what God has done for us. Obedience, which was demanded by God, is not primarily a duty imposed by one party on another, but is an expression of the covenantal relationship which was there between God and Israel. Therefore, the Israelites were supposed to obey God because He did everything for them and because of the covenant which they had with God. Likewise, my dearest friends in Christ, God did everything for us. We have a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. We are what we are today because of Christ. We have got what we have today because of Christ. We are doing what we are doing today because of God's guidance. Therefore, we must obey the Lord and appreciate what God has done to us. You know, these days, as we are in the days of stewardship, one way of showing obedience to God, one way of showing appreciation to God, is through giving to God's work is through giving to God. Our God himself is a giver. He gave Christ to die for our sins. God did not call us to him to benefit. God wants us to benefit rather than him benefiting from us. You know, one may argue that I've worked enough to gain what I have. I've studied hard for me to obtain the PhD that I have. I have studied hard to obtain all the qualifications that I have. But the good thing is that God is the one who created those conditions for us to make that money. God is the one who created that good conditions for you and I to be in a position to be where we are today. When giving, we are just returning to God a part of what he has given you. When we forget that, we owe even the ability to produce wealth to God, we start to think that my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth, as it is mentioned in verse 17 and verse 18. You know, as I am concluding, God does not ask you to give what he didn't give you. And you give what you have. No one is exempted from giving. I want to conclude this with a story. You know, in Zimbabwe, when we people are giving, people don't give privately. They will come at the front, pledging. So one of the days the pastor came, or the minister, told the people that next week we are going to give. Everyone is going to bring everything. Everyone must bring whatever he or she has. So, you know, people, the farmers brought their maize. Everyone who was in dressmaking brought their dresses. Those who has got some shops brought some food for the food to be auctioned. Surprisingly, the people saw someone coming with a coffin. And he brought the coffin, and some people were staring to him. John brought a coffin. So people were asking themselves, what is this coffin here to do in the church? Because it was something new. Later on, it was discovered that John was a carpenter who was making coffins for people. So he brought what he had to the church. So one of the elders, as he was auctioning the coffin, he said, I am buying this coffin at £5,000 and I am buying it for the minister. And the minister said, no, I can't. I will pledge £10,000 and I will buy it to Elder Z. And Elder Z said, no, you can't give me that one. And Elder Z pumped up £20,000. And he said, I am going to give my young brother Jill. And Jill said, no, I can't. Jill pumped £100,000. And he said, I am buying this coffin back to John. So John didn't have money. John brought what he had to the church. No one is excused from giving. You must give what you have. Like John, John brought the coffin. Bring what you have to the house of God. Bring what you have. Give what you have to the house of God for the glory of God, not for our glory. May the Lord richly bless us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, give to the church the innocence of children and the wisdom of experience. Take away the hardness of heart which divides families, breeds conflict between people and sets nation against nation. Let the simple trust of a child draw the people of the world together in peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, awaken us to live faithfully as your people in a changing and often hurting world. Take the strengths and weaknesses of this church and let both speak of your glory. Use the hopes and fears of this church to bring people nearer to you. We pray for the many communities that are involved with our families, our schools, our colleagues at work, our neighbours at home, and our country. May we contribute to the achievements and the harmony of all these areas, both through our own efforts and the support of others, always guided by your unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father of all, we pray for people who are exploited or persecuted by others, for people who live in fear of violence or torture, for all who are deprived of their home as a result of war or poverty, for all who suffer indignities because of the colour of their skin. Give to each of us such a concern for our fellow man that our complacency is shattered, and that we give all that is needed of us in sacrifice and service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of love, we bring before you all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for those who find the complexities of life too difficult to bear, for those living with chronic disease or a new frightening diagnosis, for those in constant pain. May the skills and knowledge of those who care for the sick be fully used to help and to heal. May all those who are ill know the reality of your loving presence amongst them, and help us remember to give you thanks for our own health and strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for those whose hearts have been saddened by the death of someone close and dear to them, whether recently or as they mark an anniversary. Give to them the strong comfort which no one else can give, and let them know the comforting power of the resurrection of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, as we go out into this coming week, help us to remember our relationship with you is not confined to the walls of a church building or our homes. It stretches out to all corners of our life. So help us to listen to your voice and be obedient to your will. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your word, which gives us a lamp for our feet and a light for our path, and who gave us the prayer to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And let's now join in voice to sing hymn 502, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my Go now in peace. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and forevermore. Amen.